Hey guys, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast, the only show handcrafted for small business entrepreneurs looking to explode their business. It's time to get your mind right so you can get your grind right. Are you ready?
In other words, if you had a turnkey business tomorrow, if your business was more organized, you didn't have to go to work to make a paycheck, what would you do? And a lot of people are just going to say, I don't know.
Hello, guys. Thank you for hanging out with me today. My name is Josh Latimer, as you know, and my mission is to deliver you, the listener, with power-packed, no-fluff business insights by some of the small business success stories from all over the world. Today, I am joined by Howard Partridge. A lot of you probably know him. Now, what you might not have known is that Howard grew up poor in Mobile, Alabama, in a 600 square foot shack with seven other kids and a mother who at one point only made $100 a month from welfare. Now, when he was 18, he set out on his own towards Houston, Texas, and arrived with, get this, 25 cents in his pocket. Now, would you believe that with a backstory like that, he ended up founding and still owns a cleaning business in Texas that does $3 million a year in revenue and travels the world training and coaching other small business owners from over 93 industries across seven countries? Wow. Howard, thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk to you. How are you doing over there?
Well, I'm doing phenomenal, of course, Joshua, and it's great to be here with you.
Well, thank you so much, Howard. You have an incredible story, and specifically in the cleaning business, it can be a hard business to scale. I had a window cleaning and pressure cleaning business, and I think there's a lot of factors, but there's very few cleaning businesses that get to seven figures, let alone threefold seven figures. And, you know, give us a little bit of history on how you got to that place and how your company became such a success.
Well, I started out like most guys. I started out of the trunk of my car, and I worked hard, and I had really good customer service. That was one of the things that really helped me. People, you know, liked the work that I did, and I wasn't even the best technically, but customer service and hard work will really take you a long way. And I hired my first employee, and you know, early on, I had like two employees, and it was, I didn't know how to lead them or whatever. And so little by little, I grew it to about $360,000 a year. But, you know, pretty much everything revolved around me. I felt like a slave to the business. At that time, I think I had seven employees, and, you know, it was dysfunctional in a lot of ways. You know, I would, you know, get mad that they didn't do what they were supposed to do and this and that. And we had customer service, and we had a few tactics, and that was, you know, we really served the high end. So that was one of the things that really saved us. But then in 1997, I really felt like a slave to my business. And, you know, I love to travel, but when I traveled, I had to be on the phone all the time with my customers, employees back home. And in 1997, I read Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, and I learned two secrets that changed my life from that book. I learned that you got to have systems in your business. So in other words, if you want to scale it, and I learned that you could have a turnkey business. And then I also learned, and so I took that that concept of having systems working on the business. I invited two of my colleagues to become partners, and we took the business to over $2 million a year. And then I ended up buying them out back in 2005. But we just built systems. I had great marketing, and we just learned leadership. We learned systems. We made a ton of mistakes. And but I had a goal of having a turnkey business, and that's what really helped me out.
And I think that's an important point that you just made, that you had a goal. You had a clear destination in mind. It was to have a turnkey business. I think a lot of guys, when they start out in business, there's always a reason why you jump into the pond, why you begin the process. But it's so easy to get lost in the murkiness and lost in the fires that you're putting out and kind of get away from that soul destination. You know, the Stephen Covey quote, begin with the end in mind, I'm a big fan of that, because when I consult people, the first thing I ask them is, why are we doing this? You know, what are you doing this for? And if you wanted to build an automated business, that made every decision you made a little easier, because when you're building your systems, you simply ask yourself, does this get me closer or farther away from an automated business?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's one that small business owners rarely ask. They don't really think about those kinds of things. They think about payroll, or let me get money in the bank, let me get through the day. And a lot of guys are afraid to hire people because they don't really know how to manage them. They don't know how to really lead them.
Yeah, absolutely. Leadership and management are not the same thing. And one of the biggest complaints I hear out there in the forums and in the world of small business is that you can't find good help. It's impossible to find good help. And my employee did this, and my employee did that, and why don't my guys just do it right? And blah blah blah. And to me, this can sound harsh, but it's a really deflective way to look at the situation. And usually, the problem doesn't lie in the available help; it lies in your ability to properly lead your team. Would you agree with that?
There's no doubt about it. I lived that. I didn't understand leadership. I didn't know about leadership. I just expected that people would have the same attitude that I had, that they would have the same work ethic that I had. But when I started learning systems, I started learning leadership. It still took me a while to figure out how to develop people, how to hire the right people, how to get them to do what it is that they needed to do. I have such an incredible staff that it would just blow your mind. I mean, these people are so, so good. Their whole goal is to make sure that I live my dream, you know, and they do their job, and they have so much pride. It didn't come easy. It came through building those systems, developing ourselves as leaders, understanding how to develop people. And I'm telling you, it'll be the most rewarding thing that you'll ever, ever do. You don't really find the right people, you attract the right people. Because if you have to go looking for them, that means that you're probably not doing what you need to do. When you start running your business the way that it needs to be run, then the right people are going to be attracted to you, and they're going to be coming and asking you for an opportunity.
There's so much to unpack there. There's a lot of good stuff there. I hope people are taking notes, because one of the things I wanted to touch on is that a lot of guys start a small business, especially in a cleaning industry or maybe in the lawn care industry or in that kind of a genre, home services genre. A lot of the founders, they started as a technician, right? So I think what happens is they bring in a completely incorrect mentality from day one, in that they look at every problem in their business and everything that needs to be done in their business from the mindset of a technical worker. For example, the guys on the forums will argue until the cows come home on how to perfectly, you know, cut the grass and how to use the best piece of equipment to do this or that, or how it's better to adjust the pH for the carpet with this, that, or the other. The point is that you got to rise up out of that and really change your whole mindset. If you're going to be a leader, that's not the same as being technically proficient. And when we first talked at the beginning of this interview, you had mentioned that you weren't even necessarily the best technician, but you had overcome that by having great people skills.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt about it. And it's baffling that more people don't want to. I think everybody wants to be successful, but I think that there's a lot of fears that keep them from being successful. And I think that the reason that they talk technical so much is because that's their comfort zone. Like you said, they have the mindset as a technician, not a manager, not an entrepreneur, as Michael Gerber says in his book. And they don't believe that they can get there. They somehow think that people who are highly successful probably did something wrong to get there. And they just don't, they have a poor self-image many times. And this is an area where they can excel. This is an area where they can, you know a little bit more than the next guy. So they can show off their knowledge and get a little bit of ego out of it. If you want to go beyond that, that opportunity is there. Is it hard? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that when you really do this right, you can literally live a dream life. It's amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, my company was significantly smaller than yours, but one of the things that's similar is that it was a machine, a mechanism that produced income for me, irregardless of how many hours I spent dedicated to it. And you don't have to conquer the world to niche out a great lifestyle for yourself. And anybody listening out there, if you can begin with the end in mind, if you can drill down and get specific about what you're trying to do, there is a way to build that mousetrap, to build that mechanism. And what Howard helps people do is understand how to, you know, lay out that blank piece of paper and start mechanizing things and start systematizing things. And people get really overwhelmed by the idea of systems. Like, I think that word, it's like kind of a cold corporate, horrible sounding word. They don't know where to start. They're overwhelmed by it. They're already overworked. What do they do with that?
Most people aren't going to build a turnkey business unless they know what they're going to do if they had a turnkey business. So the thing is that you need to have a compelling vision, a compelling dream. In other words, if you had a turnkey business tomorrow, if your business was more organized, you didn't have to go to work to make a paycheck, what would you do? And a lot of people are just going to say, I don't know. So it always starts with a vision. You know, my mentor, the late Zig Ziglar, said that desire is the secret ingredient of success. And I always wanted to have my own business, but I really only made enough money just to pay the rent. And then I met my wife. She's from New Jersey. And so I went out to get married to my wife. And there was a friend of the family who was tooling around in a little red Mercedes convertible. Well, it turned out he had a cleaning business. He did mostly janitorial. He did some carpet cleaning, probably did some pressure washing and window cleaning. And here this guy is 23. I'm 23. He's tooling around a little red Mercedes convertible. You know, he's got his own business and everything. And I'm thinking, man, that's what I want to do. When you marry an Italian family, you don't get wedding presents, you get cash, right? So we got $3,000 in cash from the different relatives and everything. And as soon as I got back to Houston, I started looking into the cleaning business, and I bought a carpet cleaning machine, a portable machine. I mean, I didn't have a clue about the technical part, so I had to rely on my supplier for all that. So for 13 long years, I just did the best that I could. And the real breakthrough was when I learned about business. You can be the best technician in the world and be broke and in debt.
Absolutely. And one interesting thing that you said is that you ran 13 years working really hard, doing the best that you could before really even having an understanding about this. So guys, if you're out there and you have a business that's already established, there is tons of hope still. There's plenty of time to turn this around. I mean, Howard, you must have completely upended the way that you handled people when you started to have the light bulb go on with leadership and managing. I would imagine that the way that things were run in your company completely changed over a series of months or years. And that must have been a weird time in your business, but look what it produced for you. So it's never too late to get started.
Absolutely. You can make simple changes today that will just make all the difference. The first attempts at it, I failed in a lot of ways. So the first thing you need is you need to have a vision, and then you need to just make a simple way to do this is just make a list of all the stuff that you do and then kind of put a check mark beside the things that you aren't any good at, like maybe accounting or bookkeeping, you know, those kinds of things. And maybe if your poor wife is doing it, you know, it might be better to get her a job doing what she loves and get a bookkeeper or somebody, hire somebody to answer the phone, you know, and you start just getting people to do these basic tasks. I have this organizational chart that I created, and there's three levels. On the bottom is the implementation level, in the middle is the manager level, and on the top is the director level. And I kind of developed that after Michael Gerber, who, by the way, became a great friend of mine. He's a wonderful friend. He speaks at our conferences. And then I broke it up under leadership, marketing, sales, operations or service, and administration, which is tracking. And what you want to do is get people to start doing some of those basic tasks for you. It could be someone part-time. It could be a virtual assistant. It could be someone in another state. I mean, we got a guy, my second employee that started with me. He was, he's been with me on and off for almost 30 years. And, when he left us, one of the times that he left us, he went to Minnesota. He keeps coming back. And, he moved to Minnesota. And when he wanted to come back, his wife didn't want to come. So we were just like, hey, we got technology. We got BOIP phones. We've got, software that like you have that runs online. And, you know, there's no reason you couldn't answer the phone and do inside sales for us in Minnesota. So this guy works at home in Minnesota. Our company's in Houston and books about $1 million a year for us.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I can relate to that. My software company, I have two dedicated graphic artists, and one of them lives in Minnesota as well, in Minneapolis. And the other one is a Venezuelan girl who lives in Ireland, of all places. And technology has really opened up the world. And there's so many ways to leverage other people to set yourself free from getting stuck inside of your business.
Are you looking for a simple way to get more sales, more referrals, and strengthen your customer loyalty? Look no further than sendjim.com. It was handcrafted for you as a powerful tool that will automate your follow-ups after the sale. Imagine being able to stay in contact with your customers all year long by pushing a single button on your smartphone. This is a space-age warp speed technology, and it will eliminate the chaos inside your business caused by trying to properly follow up with all of your leads and customers. Sign up for a free trial with no credit card required at sendjim.com right now. What are you waiting for?
This is a big mistake that I made, is that I didn't understand my numbers. I got into debt. But you don't have to do it. You could do it. You don't have to do it like that. You could do it smart. See, if we had been smart as owners, we would have had a plan. We would have had a financial plan. We would have taken less salary and had a better increase on the back end. But none of us wanted to give up our income. And so we don't want to reduce our income. So the key is have a plan. Be good at marketing. Nothing happens in a business until a sale is made. And sales don't happen until marketing is done.
That's right. And I call that deal flow a lot of times. And you need to have specific, methodical, reliable, duplicable things in place for your business, whatever that may be. And it doesn't have to be super complex or expensive in the beginning, but you have to have something that you know when you crank up the lever on it, it will produce deal flow for your company. Sales is absolutely the lifeblood of every single organization on the planet. And if you don't start there, everything else is probably futile. Would you agree with that, Howard?
Absolutely. In fact, I'll just share some very simple things that everybody on this that's listening to this podcast can do. Number one, the biggest marketing mistake of all is not marketing to your past clients. They're going to need you again. They're your top referral source. If you're not marketing to them, if you're not in front of them, someone else is. And you need to brand your company. You need to build a relationship with them. How do you do that? By having a weekly email newsletter. It can be very simple. You know, here's how to maintain the siding on your home. How do you know if you need a new roof? You know, whatever. And be in the education marketing business, and have a referral reward program, have a thank you card system, have a birthday card system, have a call system that calls people that you haven't used you in 6 or 12 months. And then identify those referral sources that refer you. Let's say if they're realtors, then go see them on a regular basis because they've got more referrals for you, and go see other realtors and get involved in their world. Well, hey, Howard, I don't have time to do all that stuff. Well, neither did I, but guess what I did? When I had two jobs in a day and I was out there cleaning carpet, I put on a suit jacket and a tie, and I went to a breakfast group. Then I went and did a cleaning job. And then I went to McDonald's or someplace and changed clothes and went to a lunch group, a networking group. And then I went out and did another job. And guess what? I put that suit back on, and I might have been hot and sticky on the inside. It's you know, 100 degrees and 90% humidity in Houston. But, you know, I put on some cologne and some breath mints, and I might have changed clothes 3 times during the daytime. And then I went out and to see referral sources. You know, Dave Ramsey says if you'll live for just a little while like no one else will, you can live the rest of your life like no one else can. And you got to make the sacrifice somewhere. So I was able to get the work done and get the marketing done because I was committed to doing that.
Absolutely. You covered a whole bunch of ground there. I want to touch on a few things. One, if you ain't going to grind, it ain't going to work. If you ain't going to work your guts out for your business, I think a lot of guys, especially with business partnerships, they get into a business partnership because they think that the other guy is going to come save the day for them. And that's just not the case. You gotta grind. You have to work. And that's one of those things. I don't really know how you would coach or teach that. But if you are one of those guys listening and you got that burning fire in your belly and you got that motivation when you wake up and when you go to bed and you want it, you almost can't fail unless you quit. And the trick is to start working smarter and to start surrounding yourself with like-minded people. And like Howard said, he was grinding. He was working hard. And, you know, I think it's funny. One of the quotes I like, Howard, is that everyone sees the wine, but no one sees the crushing of the grapes. Right. So people can look at you now and say, oh, look at that guy. How lucky is he? Right. Well, there's not 1 ounce of luck involved in anything that you've done whatsoever. Right. So let me circle back. Customer acquisition cost. You were talking about understanding your numbers. How do you get the deal flow coming in? How do you get the sales coming in? Guys, it costs money to acquire customers. It literally costs money. The CAC, the customer acquisition cost, you should figure out what yours is. And it can vary by channel. If you do flyers, it might cost you $25 to get a customer. If you do direct mail on a larger scale, maybe it's $50, $60 to acquire a customer. But one of the coolest things that Howard just mentioned was that guys have a blind spot when it comes to marketing to their current customers. Now, isn't it like 8 times cheaper to keep a customer than it is to get a new one, Howard? There's some statistic like that. And so your customer acquisition cost of retaining a customer is like way less than going out and getting a new one. And you're completely right. People totally overlook that. You know, can you give us some specifics on how you stay connected with your customers throughout the year? I know you mentioned the newsletter. Are you guys doing outbound phone calls? Are you doing direct mail? What's all involved with your relationship marketing?
Yep. So we have a weekly email newsletter, and it really educates them on how to take care of their carpet, how to take care of their upholstery, how to take care of those items that you service, whatever it is. Yeah. Now, it could be as simple as a paragraph and then a link to something online, preferably on your website. Or it could just be a little tip and then your website and then have your referral reward program. So we do that. We mail to our database 5 years back every single month. Usually it will either do a postcard or we'll do a newsletter. We do also some birthday cards and different things like that. I use a little program called Send Out Cards, and so we do some relationship marketing stuff like that. And then we have a strong referral reward program that we advertise on everything that we do. Then we have a lady who spends 2 hours a day calling past clients. And getting them to repeat and that kind of stuff, reminding them. We have a reminder letter that goes out. We have a thank you letter package that goes out. And then we have our whole referral marketing system where we go and generate referrals from carpet retailers, designers, and realtors by going out and building a relationship with them and educating them and helping them with their clients. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot there. And I don't want you listeners to get freaked out, because You only need to do one of these things at a time. And I encourage people to start with something, a minimum viable system, to start with a tiny one sentence, maybe one paragraph, simple enhancement to their business, and then apply it to their business, right? And that, and I want to move into execution in a minute too, because that's, in my opinion, where people miss it the most is they get excited, they listen to a podcast like this, they're an information junkie, they buy all the material you have, they buy Gerber's book, they buy Zig Ziglar's book, they read, they listen, they consume, but they never actually do anything, right? And so they can never really win. So again, start with a minimum viable system, but more importantly, guys, deploy it inside of your company, like right now, this week. Can you talk about execution, Howard?
Yeah, so we call it FTI, failure to implement. You know, I love this Japanese proverb that says vision without action is just a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. And where most small business owners live is action without vision. In other words, we're taking a lot of action, we're busy, but it's not associated with any kind of goal or any kind of vision. So you set a sales goal as a simple example, and then one of the simplest things that you can do is have someone just make 20 phone calls a day to past clients. Hey, want to see how your roof is looking, how your siding is looking, how your driveway is looking. We're out there a year ago. And see if there's anything that you need to have washed right now. We got a special offer going this month. By the way, do you know about our referral reward program? Just do that one simple thing. Now, the problem is that most guys aren't going to consistently do it themselves. They'll do it for a few days, but then they let it go by the wayside. So hire somebody to do it. There's plenty of people who maybe, like we had a lady for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years that was homebound. She couldn't go anywhere, and she did our thank you calls, she did our quality check calls, she did all of our reminder calls, and she could market right there on our web-based software to say that, hey, that call's been made, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, outbound phone calls are essential, but more than that, executing and putting something in place to make sure that you have accountability somehow in your execution is a huge win for you guys. And if you can, I don't know if it's a friend, a brother, a wife, a mastermind group, a Facebook group. I mean, this is where coaching can really benefit people too, if they're willing to put that money out there, if they're willing to invest in themselves and risk a little dough. Accountability can change everything, because if you just do this stuff, you will literally make more money. That's just the way that it is. I mean, ask yourself this question. Would it help or hurt your business if you did a better job following up with every single customer all year long in an organized and professional way? I mean, that there's only one answer to that question. And of course it would help your business. The trick is actually following through with it and doing it. Howard, thank you so much for a lot of those insights. I want to move to a couple specific short answer questions just to give our listeners some interesting content here. First of all, you're a quote guy. And when I poked around on your website and talked to some of the people that you know, there's quotes everywhere, all over the place. It's like a quote bomb went off. But what's your favorite quote?
Well, like you said, we got tons and tons of quotes, but two of the ones that are most important to me, I think, are both Zig Ziglar quotes. And Zig was an American legend. I am so blessed to serve as the exclusive small business coach for the Ziglar Corporation. I have a partnership with them. And Zig said this. He said, "You are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes in your mind." One of the books I wrote is called Think and Be Phenomenal. I don't have time to go into all of what that book is about, but it's based on you know, a quote that's similar to that, that when you change your thinking, you change your life. And it's all about how you think, what you think about, because it all starts in your mind. And Zig said that most people suffer from a poor self-image. That's why they're not as successful as they could be. The other one is also a Zig quote that says, says that you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. And the first time that I interviewed Zig, I told him, I said, you know, I tell people that you stole that from Jesus, because Jesus said, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And he just reared back and laughed. He said, well, that'll be okay, because I know him personally.
Well, I do too. And even another scripture while we're on the topic is, you know, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? I mean, garbage in, garbage out. And the people you associate with have a tremendous impact on your thinking. If you are not being mentored by someone and you're not pouring into someone else and you're not surrounded by positive people, it's going to be a lot harder to really rise up to that level, don't you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. In fact, speaking, you were talking about accountability a while ago, and mainly what I do is we have a coaching program called the Howard Partridge Inner Circle, and I have a package, and that's great, and I did that for many years, and I do conferences and seminars, but what I noticed is that FTI was a big problem, and that's why we started our coaching program, because to be as successful as you want and really to push through some of these hard things, you need three things. And a community is really built and developed around these three things. Number one is you need support. You can't do it all by yourself. Number two, you need encouragement. You need people around you to say, you know, Zig said that encouragement is the fuel that people run on. And you need people around you to say, hey, man, go for it. You can do it. You know, push through. And then third, you just need accountability. You need somebody to say, hey, you know, is this really what you want to do? You know, what are we doing? Are we messing around here, or are you really serious about this? Or, you know, what's holding you back? And let's dig down and see what the real issue is. And so many people today don't want to be accountable, but man, that's the key. That's where you can be phenomenally successful. I've had many, many coaches in my life, and I would not be successful if I didn't have all these different coaches over the years.
Absolutely. A lot of guys start a business, I think, to escape the team, or maybe a bad team, or bad management, or a bad leader. It's like they want out. They want that freedom, right? So then they start their company, and they have a lone ranger or a lone wolf mentality where they think they can go conquer the world and they're smarter than everybody and they got it figured out. And what they quickly find is that burns out after a little while. And the ironic part is that you come back full circle to the beginning concept that you have to have a team. You have to have it's a team effort to build a business. It's a team effort to build a marriage. It's a team effort to do really anything of significance. And if you don't have that team, or if you have the wrong team right now, start looking and examining those areas of your business and your life, and start, you know, putting in some different pieces. Start meeting different people. I heard a quote one time, Howard, that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And that's a popular one going around right now, but I bet that it's true. You know, if you hang out with five of your closest friends and none of them are successful and they all have, you know, negative attitudes all the time and the world's always out to get them, you know, and you think you're going to scale a big company, I just think you're kidding yourself.
Well, that's the thing. That's a Jim Rohn quote. And one of my colleagues, we coach each other and mentor each other, built Jim Rohn International, and he knew Jim personally. He was a business partner of Jim's for 18 years. And it's absolutely true. You got to get, in fact, my life message is get around people who are already doing what it is that you want to do. That's the fastest way to success, is get around people who have already done what you want to do. And that's all I did. Once I started getting around successful cleaning businesses and learning and consultants and going to classes and seminars and all this stuff, then I started making some things happen. And so I keep stretching to the next level. And once I you know, feel like, okay, well, I've kind of gotten to this level. Then I go find someone who is at the next level. And that's why I, you know, follow people like John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar when he was alive, Michael Gerber, and those guys, because I want to do things on that level like they're doing.
Listen up. Now, remember, being self-employed is not the same as being a business owner. And if you are looking for a way to automate your business and build yourself a clear path to the dream that keeps eluding you, then check out my online small business bootcamp. It's a go at your own pace. It's power packed. It's a mind bomb. It will help you understand exactly how to architecture out and systematize your small business right now, so you can finally be back in control. Go to windowwealth.com right now and check it out. Use the code MINDBOMB to save 30%. It's time to invest in yourself.
Let's talk about, you know, fear for a minute. One of my little cheesy quotes is that I do my best work with a knot in my stomach. And I know that nothing huge typically happens inside your comfort zone, right? And fear, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing, but I think it holds a lot of guys back. Fear to invest in that new, you know, technology, fear to invest in some coaching, fear to invest in their education, fear to just enhance their sales and marketing, fear of failure, fear of whatever. What role does that play in the minds of business owners, and what can they do to overcome it?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. And the worst part about it is that we don't even know that it's there, because it's, fear is not always this sort of knot in the stomach. It can be, like you said, that's something you're really worried about or facing or have to deal with or whatever. I was coaching someone very recently, and they made $1 million profit, almost $925,000 last year. And he's already lost $200,000 profit this year, and they're out of money. And he's got to make some big time decisions and let some people go that have been there for a long time. And he just, you know, and man, there's just this knot. You know, I had the knot just talking to him about it. You know, but there's another kind of fear where it's hidden, and it's not you're not aware of it. And so I think that it's a good process to go through to when you're not doing something, when you're not implementing something that you feel like you want to do, that you should be doing, start doing a little bit of self-coaching. Better yet, get a coach, but, you know, do some self-coaching. I'll give you an example. I was coaching on my inner circle a lady who I was trying to get to go out and do referral marketing calls, right, and go visit carpet retailers and people like that. And she wasn't doing it. And this was back, you know, I was doing these small group calls myself. Today I've got coaches and everything. But I said, so why aren't you doing it? She said, well, I'm kind of afraid to go in there. And I was like, okay, so what are you afraid of? And she said, well, that they might not like me. And I learned this process that you can use for self-coaching, that you identify the fear behind the fear, right? So I did this exercise with her, and I said, well, so you're afraid they won't like you? And she said, yes. I said, what's the fear behind that? She said, well, if they don't like me, they won't do business with me. And I said, well, what's the fear behind that? Well, then I won't make money. And I said, well, what's the fear behind that? Well, then my business will suffer. And I said, what's the fear behind that? And she said, well, maybe my business will fail. And then I said, what's the fear behind that? And she finally blurts out, I won't be able to feed my kids.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I'm telling you that those fears are in there somewhere, and you don't even know that they're there. So I said, okay, let's start from the top. I said, are these guys using your services at all at this point in time? No. Okay, so they're not even using you. How old are your kids? And she told me. I said, has there ever been one day that you haven't been able to feed your kids in their entire lifetime? And she said, no. And I said, would that ever happen? She said, no. And wow. It just it just confirmed to me that the acronym that Zig always used for fear, you probably heard it, I'm sure you have, false evidence appearing real.
Oh, see, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, you sure you have. And you know, the thing is that God gave us a wonderful imagination, but we just use it in all the wrong ways.
Yeah, fear does not have to be rational for it to have a tremendous impact on us. That's for sure. I wonder, out of all the people that are going to listen to this, Howard, how many of them have exactly what you've just described in their life? I would say probably most of them in some area in their business. There's some sort of self-destructive mentality there. There's something under the surface or something holding you back. Guys, get yourself around the right types of people. Educate yourself. But more importantly, surround yourself with people that care about you and are like-minded and are going to the same place you're trying to go. Howard, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. You're an incredible guy. You have an incredible story. And I've really enjoyed, you know, talking to you today about these things. I think we provided a ton of value to the listeners, which is the goal of this podcast. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing? How can people get a hold of you? How can they get your home study course? What do we need to know to connect with Howard Partridge?
Yeah, well, first, you didn't ask me to say this, but guys, I'm holding this little blue key in my hands. It's just got some phenomenal videos and materials. If you don't have Joshua's window welt stuff yet, be sure to get that. But yeah, I have a course. It's my home study course. It's a great place to start, especially if you can't get to an event. It actually comes with two event tickets. But you can just go on my website. You can get a free CD. Called The 5 Secrets of a Phenomenal Business that'll help you stop being a slave to your business. It reveals the not only the 5 secrets of a phenomenal business, but the 5 things that you need to do, the 5 components of building a system. You can get that for free on my website. And then the next step is get my home study course. You can jump right into coaching if you want to, but it outlines my philosophies and the same systems that I used to build my business. And it's the same systems that our coaching clients are using all over the world to revolutionize their businesses. So start with that home study course. It'll be the best money that you've ever invested, 100% money back guarantee. And get that free CD and you'll get on my email list and you'll get a couple of tips, business tips every week.
I think it's funny because we say this stuff so nonchalantly, you know, like, oh, here's my thing. Go to my website. You can have literally every single process, every step, every single secret I've ever done in my whole life to have a $3 million business, blah, 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 as if it's just some kind of thing. And really, without technology being able to connect us all together, I mean, it's unbelievable the head start that young business guys have right now, because of the level of education available to them. I mean, honestly, it blows my mind. Because you go back 200 years ago and you're an entrepreneur trying to make it, if you aren't plugged into the right social circles and the right family and you can't learn this stuff, oh well for you. But you know, whoever you are listening to this, spend a few $100, invest in yourself, and it will make a huge difference. It's like a snapshot into the brain of someone who's already done it. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Well, we absolutely will. And I just want to just validate what you said. That's all I did. I'm the guy. I'm going to buy the program. I'm going to join the coaching program. I spend up to $100,000 a year educating myself, training myself, because I want to go to the next level. You're going to spend more money by not doing that in mistakes and lost opportunities and things like that. So don't be afraid, you know, you're going to get ripped off. Get Joshua's stuff, get my stuff. And in fact, speaking of 200 years ago, guess what people did back then? Well, Benjamin Franklin had something he called a junta, I think it was, junta or junto. It was a meeting. And these guys really just encouraged each other and supported each other and held each other accountable, and they learned a lot from each other. 100 years ago, Napoleon Hill had something called a mastermind. And so today we've got a community where people can come together and help each other. You guys have the website up there, and you got this podcast. And so there's just no excuse today. The only excuse is right between your head. You got to just start thinking differently and learning and, you know, investing in yourself.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Howard, You're awesome. Thanks for talking to me. Take care. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.